Well, today we look at church as a body. We've looked at church as a family, church as a temple, church as priests. Today is church as a body. Now, we live in a society that is really values and puts a lot of emphasis on self-strength, on self-reliance. We have these phrases like God helps those that help themselves. We love like kind of rags to riches stories. And one of the big phrases that, you know, we just hear all the time when someone's going through something hard is, you got this, right? It's like, you got this. And it's just kind of that mentality of like, you know, if I just find strength in myself, I just dig deep, then I can conquer whatever I need to conquer. We value independence. We don't like admitting weaknesses, right? We don't like to feel vulnerable. We don't like to ask for help from people. We value self-strength. There's a stubbornness that we have kind of in us that we don't need other people. I've got this. But we're fooling ourselves. We're fooling ourselves if we think this way. We cannot live that way. Life is filled with things that are far beyond our abilities, our capacity, way above our pay grade. We cannot handle the things that life brings to us. Beyond our wisdom, beyond our strength. I mean, when you look at life, when you face things like depression or anxiety, or you feel abandoned or betrayed or stabbed in the back, or you see loved ones' marriages fall apart, or your own marriage is falling apart, or you see your kids falling apart, your friends are falling apart. You see them facing stresses and trials that are just overwhelming. Maybe it's health scares, health tragedies, or when loved ones die. The last thing you've got is this. You don't got this. That's just too much. You're not wired for that. You're not God. You're never gonna be God. You don't got this. So we cannot go forward with that mentality, right? Maybe it's our own sin that we're struggling with. We're just like, I'm just gonna figure it out. I'm gonna fix myself. You don't got this. You don't have the power and ability to do that in yourself. And we cannot go forward with that kind of mentality. We can't even live and breathe and move unless Christ upholds those things with his own word of power. Apart from that, we can do nothing. But yet we think we got this. Life, church, all of this life, we need something outside of us. It is beyond you. It's beyond me. Apart from you. Apart from him, you can do nothing. Jesus did not say, apart from me, you can do a lot of things. Apart from me, you got this. Right? Like, that is not what he said. He said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. And you know what nothing means in Greek? It means nothing. Like, there's nothing behind it. Like, just you can do nothing apart from Christ. You don't got this. You never have. You never will. We have weaknesses. We have blind spots. And God has purposely designed us as people, brothers and sisters, adopted into this family like we saw last week, a family that oftentimes doesn't act like a family. Sometimes we hurt each other. Sometimes we let each other down. But he has designed us to be interdependent, dependent on one another, to look to each other, to be vulnerable with each other, to be weak with each other, to look to each other, to reach out to each other, to be vulnerable with each other, to admit our weaknesses, admit our blind spots, or confess that we know we have blind spots. You can't admit your blind spots because if you don't know you have them, right? So, but just admit that you know you have them. And then lean on each other's strengths, on each other's wisdom, so that we be like a puzzle that fits together, which is this. It's called a body. All these different parts of the body that fit together like a puzzle. That's what the body of Christ is. None of us are wired to be isolated. I'm an introvert. I love my quiet time. I love my alone time. But I am not designed. I cannot survive isolated. None of us are wired to be self-sufficient. None of us are wired to be able to just go it alone. But, you know, our egos, our pride, our stubbornness, whatever, we would convince ourselves otherwise. We don't need those people. We don't need the Lord. I don't need to be open and honest and vulnerable. But God has called us to be a body that is interdependent on each other. That's the text we're going to be looking at today. I want to pray, and we're going to be looking, kind of go piece by piece through a little bit of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, so you can open there as I pray. Let me ask the Lord to lead us, guide us, encourage us, convict us, and love us as we go through his word today. Father in heaven, we know deep down that we're weak. We're not complete people. And our weaknesses aren't just because of things like sin or whatever. It's just we're weak because we're limited. We're finite. We're finite human beings. We are not God, and we'll never be you. And so we have needs. And you, in your wisdom, you have designed and called us not just to be, as we've seen, a field and branches and a temple and priests and even family, but you've even called us together to be your body. So intertwined, so connected with not just you, but with each other, that we're going to be connected to each other forever because we are the body of Jesus Christ. And it's true, we don't act like it a lot of times. We're, like we saw last week, we're an already not yet family. We're also an already not yet body. We already are the body of Christ because of what you've done, but we don't yet totally act like it. But we want to grow in that. We want to learn how to be and act like what we already are, which is the body of Christ. So we need to be humbled. We need to be trained to see each other with eyes of love and compassion. We need to be trained to ourselves be vulnerable and open with people so that we can be blessed by other members of the body of Christ. This is hard work. That alone is above our pay grade because our own egos and pride get in the way. But we believe, Lord, that your Spirit is at work in us, is changing us and transforming us and pursuing us. And so we want to grow in this. So help us to do this. Even as we open your word, that your word would be alive in us and active and would find a home in our hearts and it would change us and transform us. It would shine light into dark places of our hearts, places of fear, places of timidity. Help us, Lord. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm just going to be looking at verse 12 and 13 to start off. If you remember, we've kind of covered this a little bit the last few weeks. The Corinthian church was really just, they were just dysfunctional, right? They were a dysfunctional family. There was a lot of infighting. They weren't acting like the body of Christ. They weren't acting like a family. They weren't acting godly at all. So that's church life, right? As long as churches have sinners, we're just going to be imperfect and we're not going to treat each other well all the time. But we want to grow in this. That's why Paul's writing this letter. He's writing to the Corinthians because they're just kind of messed up, right? And he wants them to figure out how to not be so messed up. So this is what he's writing, and this is for us today too. In verse 12, he says, just as the body, the human body, is one big piece, and has many members, meaning body parts. So one body, but many body parts. And all these members, these body parts of the body, though there's many of them, they actually just form one body, and that's how it is with Christ. In one Spirit, if you are a born-again believer, you've been given the Holy Spirit, and there's only one Spirit. There's just one Spirit. There's not, 100 spirits in this room. There's one Spirit. So for in one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. It doesn't matter if you're Jewish or Greek, you're a slave, you're free, you're man, you're woman, you're young, you're old. There's one Spirit, and we're all baptized into that one body, and we're all made to drink of one Spirit. So let's first consider what this means to be the body of Christ. What does that mean? Start with something kind of profound, but kind of basic. Some of you might have, this last week, started the New Testament reading plan, and in John 1, on Monday, it started out with John 1 saying that the Word of God became flesh. So that's a kind of a strange concept, right? The Word of God, this invisible Word, became flesh. God Almighty, creator of all things and Lord of all, invisible God, eternal God, his thoughts, which we can't see, his desires in his heart that we can't see, the thoughts and desires in his mind that we can't see that are invisible, suddenly came out of his mouth and turned into a human form. Like something invisible, something internal, became flesh and blood. Like that's a wild thought. The word of God, the thoughts, the heart of God became a man. That's a crazy thought. Do you realize, like, think about yourself. Your words are completely inseparable from you. Right? Jesus said, whatever comes out of your mouth comes from where? From your heart. Right? So whether you lie or you bless, or you talk dirty or you talk clean, you praise the Lord with one side of your mouth, you curse the Lord with the other side of your mouth. Whatever comes out of your mouth is inseparable from who you are because it comes from your heart. So if your mind, the good things, the bad things, the ugly things, your heart, the good and the nasty, your desires, your motivations, if all those invisible things were just floating around in space and all of a sudden became a human being, do you know what it would look like? It would look like you. You're exactly the embodiment of your words and your thoughts and your mind. You cannot be separated from your own word because your words come from your very heart, right? You and your word are one. And that's kind of unfortunate, right? I mean, if we're going to be honest, that's why we need a Savior. That's why we need the Spirit to work in our hearts, because we want to get rid of all those things. We want to be changed. We want that being of who we are to be transformed and changed in the image of God. So the same thing, though, is the case with God. All of God's good, perfect, holy thoughts, his righteous thoughts, all of his desires, his love, his compassion, all of that became a man, and that is Jesus. That word became flesh. Look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God, and Jesus is the exact imprint of his nature. And that Jesus upholds the whole universe by the word of his power. And after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, when Jesus died and when he rose, soon after that, he went up to heaven. He ascended to heaven. That's where he is today, still a human. But you know what he did? He took his body with him. His body's not in the grave. He ascended. His body is gone. So now we cannot see the word of God in the form of flesh any longer because he's at the right hand of God. But he did something for us. He didn't leave us with nothing. He gives each believer his own spirit. He says, it's good that I go away and I'm going to give you a helper. I'm going to put my spirit in you. That makes us one with him because there's only one spirit in this room, church. There's just one. And we've all been baptized into that spirit. So now we become a member, a part of his body. Now we are to be his hands, his feet, his eyes. Now we look around and we know that every person in this room who has the spirit inside them is a member of a part of the body of Christ. And we can't see Jesus in the flesh, but God leaves us with us. Now, I know that's not insanely encouraging, right? But that's what we got. And God is at work in each one of us, changing us and transforming us into the image of Christ himself. If we press in, if we surrender, if we pursue him, if we confess our sin to him, if we become vulnerable with him and with each other, we will change. And that's good, and that's awesome. But we need to pursue this, though. It doesn't just happen magically. We need to pursue this. And then we become more like the actual body of Christ. We already are the body of Christ, but we don't yet act like the body of Christ because we're still here with this limited body. But we all need each other. We need the body because we need Christ. And this is the vehicle that Christ has left us with for us to know him more, is each other, being the body of Jesus Christ. We cannot have Christ without having his body. You cannot have Jesus without his body. Like, that's kind of ridiculous. Like, hey, I want to go hang out with Joby. I just want to hang out with just his head. Don't really like looking at his body, but just, you know, just head sitting right there on a desk. Like, that just doesn't make sense, right? Like, if you want Christ, you have to deal with the rest of us. That's just the reality. But look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. In him, in Christ, the whole fullness of deity, all of God dwells inside of Christ bodily. So as we know that, Jesus is filled with the deity, the power, the glory of God. But then look at verse 10. And you've been filled in him. In Christ, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily in the body of Christ, and you've been filled in him. Him, Jesus, who is the head, right? He is the head. We're the body. He is the head of all rule and authority. We've been filled with the Spirit of God, and we are now his body, though we don't act like it all the time. So Paul, in 1 Corinthians, he's going to address two attitudes that he sees in the Corinthian church. The first attitude is the person who thinks too little of himself and what God has given him. So look what it says in verse 14, chapter 12, verse 14. For the body doesn't consist of just one body part, like it's just a giant finger. That's not how a body is. But there's many body parts on a human body. If the foot should say, well, since I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body. Well, that wouldn't make the foot any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, well, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body. Well, that doesn't make that true. If the whole body was just an eyeball, where would the sense of hearing be? Right? We can't just all be an eyeball, right? We need ears. And if the whole body, though, was an ear, well, then where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, here's what God did. God arranged the body parts in the body, each one of them, as he chose. He designed this body, and he designed this body. He arranged you and your life and all your circumstances, your personality, everything. He arranged that for a purpose, just like he arranged this body and each of its body parts with a specific purpose. The finger doesn't do the job of the nose. The eye doesn't do the job of the ear. You don't do the job of the person next to you. You're walking through your own thing, and they're walking through something else. And someday, by God's grace, you're going to learn to learn from each other and depend on each other, because you're not like them. Because you haven't gone through what they've gone through. But someday you might, and you're going to need them at that point. Right? So this is how God has arranged the members, the body parts in the body, each one of them as he chose. If we were all a single type of body part, where would the actual body be? There would be no body. As it is, Paul says, there are many parts, yet one body. So just because you think you don't fit or you don't belong, you don't think you're a good enough Christian, whatever it is, whatever you think, just because you think that does not make that true. That's what Paul is saying. You might think you don't have a part to play. Maybe you compare yourself to others. But your life has been designed in a very specific, purposeful way. We already read that Christ upholds all things by the word of his power. Everything in your life that has come your way was by God's design, good, bad, and ugly. He arranged your life in a certain way. And he's going to be working through all of those things. You've been wired a particular way with your personality, with your interests, with your how you kind of walk through emotions and how you perceive things and whatever it is. You've been given certain life circumstances, good and bad. Some of you have been dealt a terrible hand in life. This is God at work in you, a member of the body, and he is working in you. You have certain passions, certain type of personality. None of those things are mistakes. None of them are mistakes. They're not fun sometimes. They're not easy. They're confusing. But here in this text, you have a foot saying, well, I'm not a hand. And I look up. I'm always looking up at the hand. The hand's always looking down at me. I look at the hand way up there. It never gets covered up by a shoe. It never stinks. Gets to meet other hands with like high fives and fist bumps and has an opposable thumb. You know, I'm stuck with a big toe. I mean, I don't belong. I mean, that's how the foot thinks, you know. You can say to yourself, I'm not gifted like those other people. I don't have that kind of personality. You know, I don't fit here. I don't belong. I'm damaged goods. I'm worthless. I've got sin If anyone knew my sin, oh, they would look down upon me. And here's the thing, church. That's sometimes true, and that's unfortunate. But we're trying to change here. And we need each other to change. We need each other so that we can change. And I need to tell you, because God's word tells you that thinking that you don't belong and all those things, it's wrong. It's wrong. And that's not Joby's opinion. That's God's word. Because everything about your life has been woven for a particular purpose. Last week we saw that Jesus says he's not ashamed to call us his brothers, his sisters. That doesn't make sense to me. I can't picture him putting his arm around me in front of a group and saying, "Have you guys met my brother Joby?" I'd be like, "Which Joby are you talking about?" But he's not ashamed to call us his brothers, even though we have all this stuff inside of us. But he sees the beginning from the end. He sees what he's doing at the work he's doing inside of us. He knows that there is purpose in everything that has happened in my life, that God can and desires to use all of those things to be a blessing and a gift, even to other parts of the body that may not need you today, but they will need you someday. It doesn't feel like that. That doesn't seem like reality. But God is somehow doing something in this mess. You guys ever see, like, you know those, like, crochet things? Like, when I was growing up, my mom had these, like, crochet things on the wall that, you know what I'm talking about? I actually have a picture, so I'll just, what is it? Cross stitch. I don't know, whatever. Do we have the picture in there, the first one? Because I didn't really know how to explain it, so I figured I'd find a picture. Do we have the picture? Okay, it's coming. So on the back of those things, right, it's just like, it's a total mess. It's like that, okay? That's how life feels, right? You look at your life, you just go, this is just a chaotic mess. Like, it just makes no sense. It's confusing. It's just this swirling whatever. And when I remember when I was a kid, I would see the backside of that and just go, like, how did that become this thing on the other side? So the next picture shows what the other side is. And it's something that just, it doesn't make sense. I don't know how that mess becomes that thing. We only see, oftentimes in life, we see that first picture. That's how life is. That's how life feels. It's confusing. It's murky. It's foggy. Right? It brings anger. It brings resentment. It brings all these things. And it just bogs you down. We do not see what God is actually doing in our life. We don't see the end result. But God's word says that he works all things for good for those who love him. But we just lack so much faith because it hurts right now. It hurts. It's painful right now. Corrie Ten Boom, she has this quote in your notes here. She says, "Although the threads of my life have often seemed knotted, I know by faith that on the other side of the embroidery, there's a crown." But we need faith. We need faith because it does not look like a crown right now. God works all things for good for those that love him. He is at work in the mess of your life even right now. And he's already at work in the mess in your life that's coming next week or next month or in 10 years. The stuff that you don't even know about yet, he is already at work in those things. He has a plan for those things. So to make claims that, well, we don't fit or we don't matter is to say that God doesn't know what he's doing. God, you don't know what you're doing. I would make a better God than you. That's what we say. If you knew what you're doing, God, you wouldn't have let me go through this trial, this tragedy. If you knew what you were doing, if you really loved me, you would have done differently in my life. But we're saying that we're smarter than God, we're more wise than God. Look what Isaiah says in Isaiah 45, verse 9. "Woe to him who strives with him, who argues with him, who's in conflict with God, who formed him. That person's like a pot among other pots. Does the clay say to the one who forms the clay, 'What are you doing? What are you making? Your work has no handles.' God, you forgot to give me certain blessings that I wanted. I wanted to be a pot with handles on it. That's a better pot. How come those pots get handles?" Right? It's a silly sort of analogy, but that's the point. Right? We look around and we go, "Oh, how come they got that stuff? How come they got this thing better? Why did I get stuck with this?" No, the clay does not say that to the potter. And trust me, church, when I tell you, I am so far too often that pot myself. So often. But Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 gives us this great hope. It says, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." He is at work. We just sang the song. He is up to something. He's doing something right now. Right now in your life, he is up to something. He's making a way. He's doing something in your life right now. Now, the other person that Paul addresses here is, there were some people in this church that were looking down upon others. So we got the first person who's like always just kind of woe is me, all that stuff. But now there's these other types of people in the church who are just always looking down on others. They don't think they need other people. 1 Corinthians, looking at verse 21 through 25, says, "The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you." That's impossible. You cannot do that. "Nor again, the head can say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker." So if you related to that first person, right, you're going, "I don't, you know, I'm just a foot, I'm whatever." The parts of the body that seem to be weaker are actually indispensable. We need you. I need you. He goes on in verse 25, a few verses later, "And this is also that there may be no division in the body." We want the body to be united, but that the members, the body parts, may have the same care for one another. That we would care for one another. Your gifts, your strength, your personality, none of that is enough to make you self-sufficient, to make you self-strong. You cannot look at others in your life that God has put in your life and say, "You know, I don't really need you. You're not strong enough to go it alone." We're designed to be interdependent, to rely on each other, to learn how to be vulnerable with others, because we recognize we do have blind spots. We need other people who are willing to love us and speak truth to us where we are weak. We need the body to do this because we are limited. We're limited. And we can and we should learn to lean on many people. We have vital organs in our own human body that we don't think much of, but they're actually indispensable. I mean, when's the last time you thought about maybe, you know, your spleen, you know, or your pituitary gland, or whatever? Like, you just don't think about these body parts, right? Even like your heart, you don't really think of that often, but it's going. You don't see it, it's behind the scenes, but it's making life happen, right? That's where a lot of us, like, we don't know what God is doing in our life. We feel unseen. We feel worthless. We feel like we're not doing anything, but God is doing something in your life, not just for your sake, but for the sake of others. For the sake of others. Even if you can't see it, like, I can't see all the insides of my body, but I know they're at work making me live and breathe. And that's important for us to constantly be reminded of to ourselves that this is what God is doing in us. We need to even, I'd say even especially the humble behind the scenes folks who faithfully, lovingly, sacrificially support others with no thanks. We need those people in the body of Christ. We need those people. It's too easy to look down upon others. Maybe if they don't live out their faith or their life the way that we do, as if everyone else should just be just like us. It's an arrogant thought process. So we're to neither think too less of ourselves, but also not too much of ourselves, because God has wired us together to be family, to be a body, one with each other, to be obedient and walk forward towards Christ using what God has given you faithfully, regularly, intentionally. Not all of us have the same gifts, the same life, the same personality, and that's a good thing. It's a good thing. If the whole body was an eye, where would the hearing be? Right, if all of us were introverts, where would the extroverts be? If, you know, and sometimes introverts don't get extroverts and vice versa. And people have gone through, who have not gone through suffering don't understand people who have gone through suffering. And men don't understand women. I mean, you know, like, just you name it, any opposites you have, like, we just don't get each other. And we just wonder, why don't they think like me? Right? But, like, we are a body, a diverse body. And that is how it is designed to be. It's like a baseball team. Like every person has a job, a position, or an orchestra. Like it's not all bassoons, right? It's an orchestra. And they don't all just play the same exact melody. They play weaving melodies and harmonies, right? So we all don't look alike. We have different parts to play. And that's everything from your place of life, your station in life, your background, you name it, your hardships, all of it. And then, and only then, when the church is actually operating as a singular body, when the church is not pursuing life just for their own good and for their own glory, when the individual members of the body aren't just pursuing life for my own purposes, my own self-seeking, selfishness, what's in it for me kind of an attitude, when we get out of that thinking, and rather when we start thinking, what is God doing in me for the good of others and ultimately for the goodness of God's glory, being obedient, being faithful, doing it cheerfully, thankfully, only then will the church do and be what the church is meant to do and be, to actually be the body of Christ. It's only then, church, that we're going to live even ourselves in true joy, true satisfaction, having inner peace that we just can't find on our own when we chase after our own way and we look down upon others or we isolate from others, whatever it is, we will just be running forever. But when we are able to surrender to this in God's design, what he's wired us to do, what he's appointed us to, it's only then that we become more like him, more like Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 12:26, I love this verse. It says, if one member suffers, we all suffer with them. All suffer together. If one member is honored, we all rejoice together. When one of us hurts, and we're actually acting like the body, when one of us hurts, we hurt with them. We suffer with them. When one of us rejoices, we rejoice with them. And what this means for us then is, if we're going to be living this way, not just isolating, not just looking down upon other people, not being just individual body parts that are isolated from the rest of us, is that when we live out this way, that means we're probably going to have a little bit less money to spend on ourselves. We're going to have a little bit less time to ourselves. It means we're going to hurt a little bit more, but it also means we're going to have a lot more joy. It's going to be worth it. Yeah, you can't just focus on yourself all the time. You can't do that, but you're actually doing what you are wired to do. You're doing what you have been designed to do. And that's when you're going to find ultimate actual peace, satisfaction. You're going to find all the things that you've been hoping for, seeking the Lord for, living out what you are actually called to do and to be. But that's a sacrifice. That's us needing to surrender, to have that busier calendar, expecting to be inconvenienced more, expecting to have added sorrow, added burdens, because we desire to be a body. Paul said this, he says, I will gladly spend and be spent for your souls. That's the attitude we're to have, to spend and be spent for the sake of others. The Lord has grown that in me over the years where I love spending and being spent for others because I love seeing the Lord work in people's lives. I would rather have that than have more time to myself. I'd rather have that than more money in the bank. I'd rather have more of their sorrows if it also means more of their joy. It's worth it. It's totally worth it. It's hard. It's painful. But it's worth it. God designed us to be connected, interdependent with his body. And when God calls you into something, whether it's certain gifts or certain opportunities, or maybe it's bad circumstances or tragedies, when you respond the right way, surrendering to him, pursuing him, it is then that you are going to be strengthened and changed and transformed and find that thing you've always been longing for and looking for. as a member of the body of Christ, he will not let your pains go to waste. He will not let those things go to waste. He will use them for his glory. And then the body of Christ, the whole body of Christ, will become stronger because of that, because of your trials, because of the things you go through. The body of Christ will be stronger because of you. That's a crazy thought to me. That is a crazy thought to me. He'll turn your tragedies into strength for other people. He'll turn your mourning into gladness for others. He'll turn your sorrows and use them to bring joy for those who are hurting. It's hard right now. It's hard when you go through these things. But God will transform those things into blessings for not only you, but for others. You'll be a blessing to other members of the body. You'll be his hands and his feet. And that's what he wants you to be. That's what he's called you to be. Without Christ's body here on the earth, because it's at the right hand of God in heaven, because we don't have Christ's body here, we need his spirit working through us, his body, so that we can rightly care for and minister to each other. He's not here on the earth physically. We're what he has given us. And we've got to continue to learn how to do that and be that for people, for each other. Sacrificially. I want to pray, and I want to just thank the Lord for his wisdom. And I know all of us, you know, maybe related to that first person, maybe related to the second person. If you're like me, you're related to both. You know, we just have like a little bit of both of those attitudes. Sometimes we're like, woe is me. Sometimes we're self-righteous and judging people. You know, like we love to just kind of weave back and forth between different sins, right? So we all need help. But thankfully, we've been baptized into one spirit, and we're part of one body, and that Holy Spirit is at work in all of us. You might not see it. It's like that tapestry, the cross-stitching thing, whatever it's called. It looks like a mess, but God is doing something. He is at work in you. He's at work in you. Let me pray. Father in heaven, God, above all things, we want your name to be glorified in our lives and lifted up. We have so many things that we want to elevate, so many things that we want so badly. And we're like the pot that says to the potter, why didn't you give me handles? Why haven't you given me this? Why haven't you given me that? I want this so bad. And it's just, those things just, they draw our hearts from you. We want those things so bad that we're unwilling to go to you and elevate your name above all other things. But deep down, because we have your spirit in us, despite the fact that we're kind of in this already not yet place, where we're already your sons, your daughters, but we don't yet act like your sons and daughters, because your spirit is at work in us, doing things that we can't see, we can say that deep down we want you, we desire you. We want you to be glorified in our life. But we're not very good at it. We need to learn to surrender, to believe that you're up to something right now, that you can turn around whatever it is that is causing us to just stay away from you. God, you're a good God, as we already heard today, that despite us being faithless, you remain faithful to us, committed to us, and we thank you for that. Your Son is on the throne, upholding all things by the word of his power. We have no need to worry or fear about the things that are in our life. We can trust you, but help us to do that, because we're weak, because we're needy, because we're limited, because we're blind. Help us. Thank you, Lord. We ask all these things in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.